I apologize if my voice sounds weird or if my voice cracks in the middle of this message. I've been steadily been losing my voice since Winter Wallapalooza. So, yikes. But I also have another thing to tell you. There will be no slides today except for this one. If you ask Ryan, he'll tell you that it's my fault. He's probably right because I completely forgot. So we're going to have to do this the old-fashioned way and open up our Bibles to the book of James, chapter 2. We're continuing our series titled Mirrors. And the passage that we're going to be looking at today is the sin of partiality. James chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, which says, "My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. So if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, 'You sit here in a good place,' while you say to the poor man, 'You stand over there,' or 'Sit down at my feet,' have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich ones the ones who oppress you, the ones who drag your name in court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself,' you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and convicted by the law of transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. For he who said, 'Do not commit adultery,' also said, 'Do not murder.' If you do not commit adultery but do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment." Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, I pray that you open our hearts and allow us to listen to what the Holy Spirit is convicting our hearts and what you're trying to speak to us today, Lord. I pray that you give me the words to speak and that this message is straight from you, not from me. But it's what you desire for each one of us in this room to learn and to understand this morning. In Christ's name, amen. So a couple of weeks ago, I saw this movie called The Greatest Showman. Yeah. Have any of you guys ever seen it? Who've seen it already? Yeah. It's a pretty good movie. The music is really good. Basically, my favorite part of the musical was I rekindled my love for Zac Efron. But that's not the most important. Actually, one of the scenes in the movie, this won't give anything away if you guys are like going to go see it. But one of the scenes that I noticed in The Greatest Showman was the scene at a party. And the main character, P.T. Barnum, is throwing this big, extravagant party. And for those of you who haven't seen it, P.T. Barnum is like the host of like a circus. So he's created this whole circus to celebrate the weirdos, the outcasts of our society. So in order to raise more money, he teams up with this girl named Jenny Lind. She's like an opera singer, I think. And they're going to go touring and raise more money because P.T. Barnum wants to cater to the high society, the rich people in society, instead of the low-class people who are going to his circus. So he's hosting this party. He's celebrating that he is going to celebrate the rich people and live the good life, and people are going to look at him with more prestige, and they're not going to look down on him anymore because he is now with the rich and famous. The people he started this circus for, the bearded lady, the guy who like looks like a dog, and all these weird people, they want to come to the party because P.T. Barnum is their guy. So they're really excited. They're walking up to the party. They're knocking on the door. They're all talking really loudly all together. They're really excited to go into this party because this is their time to celebrate with P.T. Barnum. But P.T. Barnum is closing the door. He's like, "No, don't come in. Actually, go prepare for your performance later tonight. Go have fun. Do that. You're not going to come in." And when I saw that, I was like, I felt disgusted. You could see the pain that the people in the circus felt when they are shoved aside, when they are pushed out of the party. When P.T. Barnum was choosing the rich people over the outcasts. And I think this plays exactly into what James is talking about when he's talking about the sin of partiality. The sin of partiality is when we're looking at the external features of a person. We're looking at the differences and treating people according to their differences for the good or for better. This can be seen as in our society as racism, as sexism, as classism. We can also see it when we refuse to talk to the weird person in our schools. We can also see it when we're not welcoming to the people who are new in this room today. This is when we are looking at people and judging, discriminating, favoring, being partial to a certain group of people and treating them differently. Treating one group of people better than treating another group of people better. And in the case with the Greatest Showman, I'm sure some of us have felt like the rich people. They felt that people loved them, that they were popular, that people were favoring them, that wanted them to feel special. But I also think some of us have also felt like the outcasts, the circus performers. You felt ignored. You felt mistreated. You felt like you were treated unfairly by the people around you. But all of us, in some degree, have been in P.T. Barnum's shoes, where we've judged other people for better or for worse. We may not want to admit it, but this is a prevalent enough sin that James talks about this in his book. There are times when we see people and we judge them based on their external features, their external appearance, whether it be how they dress, what they look like, who they're friends with, how much money they have. When we judge people based on their external features, we are committing the sin of partiality. Now, when we're pursuing the sin of partiality, we're looking at people, what I like to call looking at them through a funhouse mirror or a distorted mirror. So if I had a funhouse mirror up here, what would it look like if I stood right in front of it? I might be bigger in some places, smaller in some places, might be taller or shorter. But the point is, if I looked at a funhouse mirror, my image would be distorted. The image that you see in the mirror is not the same image that is standing right in front of it. When we look at people through the sin of partiality, we're looking at them through a funhouse mirror. We're judging their external features and basing our actions, our thoughts, our motivations towards them based on that distorted image. A distorted image affects how we categorize people. And let's read back in James chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit down at my feet. Have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? One of the first things that looking at people through a distorted image does is we start to categorize people based on their external features. And we see this in James's analogy of an assembly. When someone goes up to the rich man and says, you go to a good place. You sit in a good place, a place of honor. You get special treatment. Go with the other people who we think are better than the rest of us. You sit in the best place in the house. Then he says to the poor man, you stand over there. And when I first read that, it was kind of like James is saying, you stand over there, like away from me, ignoring me, like, stand somewhere where I don't have to see you. or I don't have to look at you, or I don't have to recognize you. I don't want to be recognized. I don't want to see you in our society. Go somewhere where I don't have to see you. He says again to the poor man, sit down at my feet. And this is probably the worst one. He's saying, sit down in a place lower than me. What you're doing when you're telling this poor man to do this is you're saying, go literally lower yourself. You are less valued, you are less respected, you are less important than me. You're not only pushing someone down in their value, but you are raising yourself up in comparison. It's when we compare ourselves to people, when we say, I'm better than you, you're worse than me. This is what a distorted image does. We start to categorize people based on their external features. When we look at people through a funhouse mirror, we also see a distorted image which affects our actions towards them. And we see this again where he says in verse 3, he says that he's paying attention to the rich man. So not only is he telling and categorizing people, but he's treating them differently and his actions are different based on the external features of someone. So it's when we are literally treating people differently because of who they are, what they look like, how they dress. A ridiculous example would be, how would you treat Beyonce if she was walking down the street? What would you do if she walked into this room? You'd probably start crying or be like, oh my gosh, I love you. Like, can we give you free stuff? You're amazing. Like, you would go all out to make sure that Beyonce felt loved in this room at the chapel. But then how would we treat a homeless man that just walked in? Some of us might show compassion. Some of us might give him a dollar or try to talk to him. But our initial is probably, oh, I don't want to talk to you. We're not excited to see him. We're probably thinking, oh, I hope he's not going to steal anything. I hope he's not going to do anything weird. We're judging people based on their external features and treating them differently. This is included in the sin of partiality. The last thing a distorted image does when we use it to see people differently is a distorted image affects our definition of value. So when we're constantly judging people based on the things that we can see, their appearance, how much money they have, how popular they are, how many Instagram followers they have, that's what's valuable in our society. We see people as important, as good, based on their external features. Not only does that affect the definition of the person, we see that people are treated differently and are categorized differently, but when we place value only in the external features of someone, it not only is harmful to them, but it's harmful to us as well. What I mean by that is when we are only looking at the external features of someone, we start to stress out in our own lives because we know that's what society is telling us is important, that our value is in our appearance, is in how people perceive us, and it starts to make us anxious and stressed out. I know for me, when I get too worried or caught up in what other people think or how I'm going to be judged, I wake up in the morning, I'm like, okay, I have to pick the perfect outfit. What does this outfit say about me? Does it say that I'm cool? Does it say that I am fashionable, trendy? Is my hair kept well? Do I look clean? Do I look funny? Do I look approachable? How many followers do I have on Instagram? I got to make sure that my following and follower Instagram ratio is correct because it can't look like I'm following too many people, because that looks too desperate. People have to also be following me, and I also have to get 110 likes on my Instagram or else it's going to say 99, and that's not enough. I need to keep getting more and more and more likes because that makes it look important. I look cool. I look popular now. And if that's what's important to us, that just causes us our own stress, our own anxiety. We start to worry that that is the most important thing about us. We start to literally feel sad or depressed or lonely when we don't have enough Instagram likes all of us have been there. If you don't have an Instagram, that's great. Don't have one. The effects of social media can do that to a person. It makes them feel that they are not valued, not cool, and not connected to the people around you if you don't have enough people interested in what you have to say on Twitter or how good you look in a picture. Looking at people through a funhouse mirror distorts our definition of value. So we know this is what society is telling us to do. The external is the most important. We see that all across. Once we walk out of this building, we see that all over. And we know what we typically see, but what exactly does God see? We see a hint of it in verse 6, which says, "But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich ones the ones who oppress you, the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you are called?" What this is getting at is God doesn't play by society's rules. While we are looking at people through a funhouse mirror, seeing a distorted image of people, God's not using a funhouse mirror. God doesn't see us in a distorted way. In 1 Samuel 16:7, it says this, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart.'" While society is telling you that the external is the most important thing about you, God's looking at the internal. God's looking at the heart. That's what's the most important to him. If we look at Galatians 3:28, it says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither no man and female, for you are all created in Jesus Christ." You are all one in Jesus Christ. God is no longer using the world's categories of identity and distinction. He doesn't consider those identifiers as the most important thing about you. Your skin color, your gender, your bank account, what job you have, what car you have, is not the most important thing about you. When God looks at me, he doesn't see that my value is in the fact that I'm white, a female, that I have 560 Facebook followers, that I own a pair of Levi jeans, that I have an iPhone, that I was a choir nerd in school, or that I go to a Christian college. That's not where my identity is. That's not what God sees. While we're looking at people through a distorted image, God sees his image instead. Each of us are image bearers of God. This includes the people in this room and the people outside of this room. Those who are Christians and those who are not Christians. We are all made in the image of Christ. When God sees each one of us, he sees love, he sees his creation, he sees something that is value, that is worthy, even when society is telling you something completely different, because God's not using that funhouse mirror. God also sees that the sin of partiality is a serious offense to him. Let's go back to James verses 8 through 11. Which says, "If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. For he who said, 'Do not commit adultery,' also said, 'Do not murder.' If you do not commit adultery but do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law." What James is getting at is basically saying that sin is sin. That just because you do this type of sin and you don't do this other type of sin, no matter what, at the end of the day, you sinned. And God hates sin. So God hates the sin of partiality. This sin is not less hurtful than gossip. This sin is no more hurtful than murder. This sin is a serious offense to God. As well as this, God sees this as an opportunity to show mercy to other people. We see this in verse 12 and 13, which says, "So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment." Mercy is given to those who are merciful. God delights when we do not look at people through a distorted mirror, when we are not showing the sin of favoritism or partiality, but when we show mercy. That's what God loves. When we're faced with this, we're given the opportunity to be merciful instead. So the sin of partiality is when we're looking at the external features of someone and treating them differently. God doesn't use that kind of a mirror, the funhouse mirror. So what do we do now? We know this is what society is telling us to do, to look at people and find their value in the external features. But we know that God doesn't tell us that. So what do? My challenge to each one of us in this room today is to learn how to break our funhouse mirrors. Learn how to break our distorted mirrors that we see people in. And the first way to start is to pray and to ask God and to start seeing people the way God sees them. See them as valuable, as people who should be loved, who should be cherished, who should be respected, who should feel honored. This is how God sees. We should be showing empathy to those who are hurting, to those in need, to those in our schools who feel like outcasts, to those in our schools who feel popular. This includes the jocks, this includes the cheerleaders, this includes the people in your math class, this includes the people who are constantly in detention. Because God sees his creation, his image, and those that he loves. If there is ever a time to treat people with empathy, with love, it would be now. As we've seen in the past couple of months, our world is full of sin and is full of tragedy. If there was ever a time to treat people with God's love, it would be now. Because each one of us have been touched by a certain tragedy, whether it be a friend who's lost their life, a neighbor who's lost their life, cancer, suicide, depression, anxiety, the list keeps continuing on. If there was ever a time to be loving, to be empathetic, it would be now. Because the harsh reality that January taught us is that none of us are guaranteed any time. And that shouldn't scare you, that should motivate you to show God's love harder, faster, and with more passion. Because we can't keep living in what society tells us to live in, to see people in a funhouse mirror, to see people in a distorted mirror. We need to start breaking those mirrors and showing God's love to each person in this room, each person out there, the people in your schools. I can't go into all your schools. Ryan can't go into all your schools. Your small group leaders can't go into each one of your high schools. If I could, I would. But there's a reason why each one of you are in your high schools today. So don't miss an opportunity to show God's love to the people that are lost in this world. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for not looking at us the way the world looks at us. Thank you for seeing your creation. Thank you for seeing each one of us in this room as worthy of love, as worthy of sacrifice, each one of us are loved so deeply by you in ways we can't even imagine, in ways we don't even understand, in ways we can't even communicate. I pray that we feel that love from you, Lord, and that we don't only feel the love, but we show that love. We spread that love throughout the people in this world who are hurting, who are in need. I pray we treat people the way you would treat them. I pray we treat people with equality, and we're not partial to a certain group of people. We're not partial to the people that we want to be like or that we don't want to be like. I pray that we are showing your love to all the people on this earth. Thank you so much for our love. In Christ's name, amen.
Will you guys stand with us?